From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson, along with Eric Westerveld. It's Here and Now. And breaking news just moments ago from the Federal Reserve, the Fed is raising its key interest rate by a quarter percent, a quarter point. It was a unanimous decision, and it's the first rate hike from the Fed since 2006. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us from Chicago with reaction. Hi, Diane.
Good to be here.
And this was basically what was expected, correct?
Certainly what I expected, yes. We're seeing the quarter point plus the unanimous vote, which is a huge boost to credibility for Chair Yellen. She corralled the cats, and she did it by doing exactly what she thought she would do. The Fed went out of their way to say they needed to see an actual as well as expected firming of inflation for future rate hikes and underscored the gradual nature at which they would be doing rate hikes. We also saw their terminal rate on where they think rates are going to end up sort of over the longer run, that tipping point edged down a little bit from their September forecast. That's what we expected as well. This is a Fed that's really committed to glacial moves.
And there had been some concern in advance of this that the stock market may be hurt by a Fed rate hike because the Fed has helped to boost stocks over the last many years. But in fact, if you look at the market right now, it's up maybe 0.75%, the Dow up about 121 points. Maybe even more than that after the Fed decision.
You know, we'll see what happens by the end of the day. These markets can be awfully volatile. What's really going to be interesting is when they start executing the trades in terms of the complexity of what they have to do and how that ripples through both markets abroad and the stock market. We'll be yet to know in terms of the stock market, in terms of what's really going to happen because of profits. And I think we're going to see the consumer is certainly carrying more than its fair share of weight for a change. It's not an atlas that it once was for the U.S. economy. That's going to help some sectors of the economy. But as we already saw today, the manufacturing sector is still not doing well at all. And that's something to be of concern about in profits going forward.
Well, and inflation remains very low. There are a lot of people scratching their heads saying, why is the Fed doing this now? It doesn't have to worry about inflation at the moment. It's very low. The Fed saying in its statement today, inflation is expected to rise to 2% over the medium term. But what if it doesn't? Will the Fed decide that it's time to cut rates again?
Well, that's the fear, is that a lot of times that we've hit, central banks around the world have raised rates and had to not only have an emergency landing, we've seen negative rates now in Europe. And that's part of the issue on gradualism. Now, we're talking about a quarter point against core inflation that's about 1.25% to 1.5%. That still is a very accommodative monetary policy. So this is not the Fed necessarily tightening. Yes, inflation is still very low. We know that that is something the Fed cares about. And that's why they went out of their way to say, listen, we need to see, not only do we have to be confident inflation's going to come back, we're going to have to see some actual firming of inflation because the economy is still too tepid. We want a hotter economy out there. And so that gradualism is what's going to dictate that. You know, the concern is always going back to zero because that's what other central banks have failed at this. And the Fed seriously wants to succeed for more reasons than one, not only because it's important to the U.S. economy to succeed, and frankly, if they have to go reverse course, their powder is pretty dry, they don't have much to stimulate the economy, but more importantly is, whether they like it or not, they're the default central bank to the rest of the world. There's collateral damage around the rest of the world, which is yet another reason for gradualism, treading cautiously, and allowing the U.S. economy to come back a little bit and regain some of what it's lost, even as it starts to normalize.
So I imagine that for an ordinary person out there, maybe they're looking for a house. If they get their mortgage rate locked in tomorrow, it's going to be higher than it would have been yesterday. But what are the impacts that you're looking at for ordinary Americans?
You know, actually, for ordinary Americans, consumer credit conditions are actually beginning to ease, and that is something that tends to happen when the Fed raises rate. Of course, they've been extremely tight. So even though you might pay a little bit more for some kinds of loans, the bottom line is it's easier for a lot of Americans, going to be a lot easier over the next year for them to get access to credit. Remember, you couldn't take out a home equity line of credit unless you had equity in your home. People now have equity in their homes, and banks are actually soliciting home equity lines of credit again. Credit cards are at 1994 lows as a share of GDP. Solicitations on credit cards have picked up. So there are areas where it's going to be easier to get credit. So, you know, the conditions of getting credit and the hurdles to getting access to it will more than offset the marginal increase in the cost of credit. On the flip side, for savers, they're not going to exactly be popping champagne corks here. We're talking about a quarter percent increase off of nothing still means nothing. You double nothing, it's still nothing. And so for savers, it's still not a lot for them in an environment where many savers who are actually parking their money, retirees, they're not getting much in terms of their benefits. Their Social Security has been really stagnating on benefits in recent years.
Diane, just take a step back and look at this historically. This is an extraordinary moment that for the first time in, what, 9 years, nine plus years, the Fed is deciding to raise interest rates after the worst financial crisis in generations, after the worst recession since the Great Depression. Are we finally at a point when we can say this recovery is here to stay?
We have to hope so. You know, I wish I had full confidence in that. The world is still a very uncertain place, and that's something the Fed is dealing with as well. The good news is it does look like we are seeing some traction in our own domestic economy, and that is something we've not seen, and we've seen it now for over a year. That consistency in domestic economy, in the consumer, in the household sector, that was hit the hardest, let's face it, by this recession. Wall Street's come back, but Main Street is still lagging. That you're finally starting to see some of this spread, that's the is what gives the Fed the confidence to move and raise rates a little bit. It's an affirmation of the strength, but it's also the reason the Fed is still cautious, because there still is a lot of landmines out there, and they don't want to get set back.
Diane, just a few seconds left, but I want to ask you, what are you going to do first thing? What do you want to see as soon as you get done with this interview? What are you going to go check?
gosh, everything. I'm checking everything simultaneously. It's amazing how much multitasking.
But, I can't imagine how many screens you have in front of you right now.
It's just wanting to see also Janet Yellen's response and how she talks about this. The most important thing is she's really going to frame this as gradualism. Janet Yellen does not want to snuff this expansion out, and that will be the message. This is affirmation of stronger economy. But we're not to the finish line yet, and she will make that message clear.
Diane Swonk, thank you very much.
Thank you.